Today, markets jump on Trump's latest change of tune. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, World Notice Post, covering finance and property news. Well, here we go again. Just yesterday, markets fell on Trump's comments concerning Fed Chair Jerome Powell and by threatening to sack the head of the world's most important central bank. Then the IMF came out with an economic update which slashed its US and growth economic forecasts, warning that tariffs were ushering in a new era of slower growth. They clipped nearly a percentage point from the forecast for American GDP growth to 1.8% through to the end of 2025, underscoring the increased risks of recession in the world's biggest economy. This, on its own, is a major negative shock to growth, the IMF said in the executive summary to its April 2025 World Economic Outlook. In addition to trade policy pressures, the IMF's chief economist added that the weakening consumer confidence and consumption indicators also factored in its downward revisions. While it is not yet calling for a recession in the US, Pierre Olivier Gutierrez told reporters on Tuesday that the IMF now views recession odds at 40%, up from 25% in October 2024. And the IMF also cut back its global growth forecast to 2.8% in 2025. That's down 0.5 percentage points from its previous estimates. And the IMF said that Australia's economy is forecast to grow by 1.6% in 2025, slashing its previous forecast, which was 2.1%. The grim outlook from the Washington-based body contrasts with Treasury's sanguine assessment of only modest economic damage from the rise in global protectionism. It also suggests that whoever forms government after 3rd of May could be forced to respond to a drastically weaker economy than anticipated. The 25th of March budget forecasts that Australia's economy will grow by 2.25% in 2025, which is substantially higher than what the IMF expected. Even the pre-election fiscal outlook, the so-called PFO, that was released on the 7th of April, that's the Monday after Trump's Liberation Day trade announcements, didn't flag any substantial changes to the budget estimates. At the same day as PFO, Jim Chalmers released updated Treasury modelling that showed only, quote, a modest impact on Australia from US tariffs, even as the local share market plunged and financial markets around the world convulsed. It led credence to the coalition's claims, possibly, that a failure to properly account for the economic fallout from tariffs may lead to major budget downgrades, especially if prices for key commodities such as iron ore and coal fall more quickly than expected. Actually, in a statement, Chalmers said the IMF report confirms that trade tensions are weighing heavily on the global outlook and putting upward pressure on inflation around the world. We're not immune from the turmoil in the global economy, but the progress we've made together puts us in good stead, he said. Under the Albanese government, inflation is down substantially, real wages are up, unemployment is low, growth is rebounding solidly, and interest rates have started to come down. That solid rebound, however, may be in jeopardy. The new outlook also foreshadowed a major growth downgrade in the Reserve Bank's next set of economic forecasts, which will be released in tandem with the next Monetary Board policy meeting on the 19th and 20th of May. Going back to the IMF, they said that the swift escalation of trade tensions and extremely high levels of uncertainty about future policies would have a significant impact on global economic activity. We are entering a new era as the global economic system that has operated over the last 80 years is being reset, the IMF chief economist said. Existing rules are challenged, while new ones are yet to emerge, he said, warning of a collapse in mutually beneficial international arrangements as countries are pushed to a zero-sum world of winners and losers. Gyurcsik said central bankers faced a tricky task, balancing the inflationary pressures from tariffs, which would demand higher interest rates than otherwise, with slower growth that would demand the opposite. Sounds like stagflation to me. even as the IMF's top economist called on countries to step back from the brink of a global trade war, he said, we should ask ourselves why our global system warrants remapping and recognize that decades of deepening trade ties fostered rapid but uneven economic growth. And elsewhere, a finance industry trade group, the IIF, said that the US faced a likely recession later this year. And Goldman Sachs chief executive David Solomon said uncertainty was too high, holding back corporate decision-making and keeping asset prices under pressure. And by the way, remember that the latest University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey released on April the 11th found Americans' expectations of inflation in a year have surged in the latest month from 5% to 6.7%. That's the highest reading since 1981. The IMF is now projecting US headline inflation to reach 3% in 2025. That's 1 percentage point higher than it forecast in January, which sort of confirms Powell's position that inflation will be higher on the back of the new trade policies. But then, in the latest twist on Wednesday US time, Trump again called on the US Federal Reserve chairman to be a little more active in terms of his idea to low interest rates. But no, I have no intention to fire him, he volunteered in a reporter's call.
Clarify, you have no intention of firing Jerome Powell, because your economic advisor, Kevin Hassett, a few days ago said that you and people in the White House were studying this idea of possibly doing that before his term ends. No. Do you have any plans on doing that?
None whatsoever. Never did. The press runs away with things. No, I have no intention of firing him. I would like to see him be a little more active in terms of his idea to lower interest rates. This is a perfect time to lower interest rates. If he doesn't, is it the end? No, it's not. But it would be good timing. It would be, she could have taken place earlier. But no, I have no intention to fire him.
Make that 1-0 for Powell, I guess. It was a big step back from Trump's previous haranguing of the Fed chief on social media posts and in Oval Office reporters' calls. Powell's termination cannot come fast enough, he said late last week. I'm not happy with him. I let him know it. And if I want him out, he'll be out there real fast, believe me. Powell, by the way, insists that the US president doesn't have the legal powers to sack him. Our independence is a matter of law, he said last week to an admiring audience at a public appearance. We're never going to be influenced by any political pressure. And on the matter of tariffs, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent suggests that Trump needs to de-escalate his unsustainable tit-for-tat tariff war with Xi. And in a private meeting, he was also reported to say no one thinks the current status quo is sustainable. Donald Trump said during a White House news conference that high tariffs on goods from China will come down substantially, but won't be zero. And Trump's remarks were in response to earlier comments on Tuesday by the Treasury Secretary, who said that high tariffs were unsustainable and he expects a de-escalation in the trade war between the world's two largest economies. We're doing fine with China, Trump said. Despite his high tariffs, Trump said he would be very nice to China and not play hardball with Chinese President Xi Jinping. We're going to live together very happily and ideally work together, Trump said. The US president said that the final tariff rate with China would come down substantially from the current 145%. It won't be that high. Not going to be that high, Trump said. China's government has yet to respond to the news, but has consistently criticized Trump's tariffs. On China's social media platform Weibo, Trump's remarks trended under various hashtags, including Trump admitted defeat. Now, it's worth noting that Trump has shown no public indications that he plans to pull back his baseline 10% tariffs, even as he has insisted he's looking for other nations to cut their own import taxes and remove any non-tariff barriers that the administration says have hindered exports from the US. Chandra Mundi warned other countries against making trade deals with the US that could negatively impact China. China firmly opposes any party reaching a deal at the expense of China's interests, China's Commerce Ministry said in a statement. However, on Tuesday, Korean media reported that Beijing is now putting its own pressure on third countries to enforce Chinese restrictions on US sales. The Korea Economic Daily reported that some Korean companies had received letters from the Chinese government warning of retributions if they exported any products to US military contractors that contained Chinese critical minerals. As investors face tariff uncertainty, President Donald Trump remains committed to the strategy, even suggesting that tariff revenue could offset the federal income tax. There is a chance that the money from tariffs could be so great that it could replace the income tax, Trump said in an interview on Fox on April the 15th. It's an idea that Trump floated during his presidential campaign in June at a meeting with Republican lawmakers, and changes in income tax law would require congressional legislation. But economists are skeptical. It's not a realistic proposal, Alex Durante, senior economist at the Tax Foundation, told CNBC recently. In 2023, a US report showed that the US imported $3.1 trillion worth of goods. By comparison, the government levied tax on more than $20 trillion in income, the report said. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro in late March estimated tariffs could raise around $600 billion a year, but that figure is not even in the realm of possibility, according to Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's. If you get to $100 billion to $200 billion, you're doing pretty well. For comparison, the IRS collected about $1.14 trillion in individual income taxes for the fiscal year 25 through to March the 31st, according to recent Treasury data. The administration seems to think that every time it raises the tariff rate, it can collect more revenue, the Tax Foundation's Durante said. And that's not always the case. Direct tariff revenue is lowered by behavioral and other economic factors, according to a Tax Foundation report from April the 15th. Anyway, markets reacted positively to all the news yesterday. At the close in New York, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 2.66%, the S&P 500 Index added 2.51%, and the NASDAQ Composite climbed 2.71%. The Volatility Index was down 9.64% to 2834, and gold futures for June delivery was down 0.93% to $3,328 a troy ounce. Elsewhere in commodities, crude oil for delivery in June rose 1.75% to $64.50 a barrel, while June Brent oil rose 1.55% to $68.58 a barrel. The euro-US dollar was down 0.81% to 1.14, while the US dollar-Japanese yen rose 0.51% to 141.80. And the US dollar index futures was up 0.7% to 99.09. Longer-term bond yields were down, with the 10-year at 4.344 and the 30-year at 4.797, but shorter-duration bonds were higher, with the 2-year at 3.818. This is an important signal that things are still highly uncertain. Most Asian stocks rose sharply on Wednesday, tracking the overnight rally on Wall Street, though mainland Chinese stocks were a little enthused by Trump's comments and traded sideways. Hong Kong's stocks, though, rallied with their Asian peers. The Hong Kong Hang Seng Index and the Japanese Nikkei 225 were among the top performers in Asia on Wednesday, going between 1.7% and 2% higher. Japan's TOPIX added about 1.8%, while South Korea's KOSPI rose 1.4%. Japanese shares rose past mixed purchasing managers' data, which showed strength in services but a prolonged decline in manufacturing in April. Asian technology shares were the best performers on Wednesday, benefiting greatly from bargain buying after suffering outsized losses in recent weeks. But other sectors also rose. Australia's ASX 200 soared 1.6% on gains in mining and bank stocks, while the Nifty 50 in India rose 0.45%. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices moved in a flat to low range on Wednesday, lagging their regional peers. And by the way, Bank of America downgraded its China gross domestic product outlook to 4% in 2025. That's below the government's 5% target. And Bank of America's cut also comes after a chorus of downgrades from other brokerages. But Beijing is expected to dole out even more stimulus to offset the impact of a trade war, a trend that could support domestically exposed sectors. Anyhow, as we step back, we should expect the current crazy times to continue with more volatility ahead. As like it or not, the global financial system is in spasm, and as I discussed it in my live show yesterday, this will not end soon and may not end well for many. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.